Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Andrea and I, and as promised, we are going to be working through lean building phases for women. Now, we did the body recomposition series previously, and this is going to be very similar, and this will be a multi-part series. Honestly, this will probably be longer than the body recomposition series even was, because I really think there's a lot to go into this as far as how to optimize building phases. I think they're probably one of the most misunderstood and one of the most common phases that people take on incorrectly. And thus, as a result, often like something people like when they do it without a coach have a bad experience with this, or with working with a coach who doesn't know how to manage it very well. So I really wanted to dig deep into how we approach building phases for women specifically. There definitely is some differences between like women and men in the way that we will approach this, but again, how to actually do this extremely well and really make quality lean gains in the phase and enjoy and avoid a lot of the mistakes that you will hear other people talk about, as far as like, man, I feel like I just gained a ton of fat. I didn't really make much progress at all. I felt extremely uncomfortable in my physique. So really how to just get the most out of your building phase while keeping fat gain to the bare minimum. So in this series, we're really going to again be doing a deep dive part one here. We are going to be chatting through who should and shouldn't do a building phase, common building phase mistakes to avoid, and much more. And then we'll, of course, take a deep dive into things like the different, in the next few parts of the series, the different things like the different types of building phases that we use, how to set up your nutrition, how to set up your training, what your rate of gain should look like, should you even be gaining rate, biofeedback to look at, supplementation, cardio, things of that nature, how to make sure that we're in a good place to be as responsive as possible. So there's going to be a lot to dig into here, but I'm excited for it. And I think it'll be very valuable. Again, it's one of the things that we do with our clients, with the women that we work with, that does really like set the results our clients get apart. But again, even more so than fat loss, I think that like fat loss can be a struggle for very many people, but I think like fat loss, like doing a fat loss phase well, is still quite a bit easier than doing a building phase well. So there's a lot of nuance that goes into this, but the listeners, by the time we're done with the series, you should really have a good understanding of how to approach this well. Andrea, anything to add to that before we get into it?
Yeah, just based on what you had just said with this versus fat loss phases, there's a little bit more room for error in a fat loss phase. I'd say we just need to maintain muscle and be in a calorie deficit. But with building phases, I feel like people think, oh, this is pretty simple. Like I just eat some more food and I'm probably going to see the results that I want, which is what leads people to getting those results where they just sort of gain more fat than what they want. And then they're uncomfortable. And then they decide, well, building phases just aren't for me. But then right. That this is where you see the most change in your body. So I think this is going to be super valuable.
Absolutely. Really one of the most important phases of physique change. And again, like our first episode here is going to be a little bit more high level, kind of just framing this up. And then again, we will get much more in depth into like deciding which approach is going to be the best for you and how to set that up. So first, let's dig into why building phases are important for women. So really, most people have only pulled the fat loss lever. When we're looking at changing your physique, really there are two different levers we can pull, right, to change the appearance of your body, the shape of your physique. We can pull the fat loss lever. So as we get leaner, we'll uncover more of the muscle we have. Of course, you'll uncover like more abs and things of that nature. People just typically think of like just fat loss is the only lever we can pull. Whereas really building muscle again is another important variable for changing your physique, right? Building muscle adds more shape to your physique. But also even if we just maintain body fat and we add muscle, you will look leaner. So it is something we can do that will really change your physique a lot. And again, most of our clients get such great results. The results you see are just as much due to, or if not more, due to the amount of muscle our clients build, because we do very much focus on the building muscle aspect of this as well, digging deep into the training, fueling yourself well, etc. That is just as big, if not a bigger part, of the results that our clients get as opposed to the fat loss side of things. It's also, on a similar note, this can really help almost raise the quote unquote floor of the level of leanness you can sustain. I made a post about this the other day, but let's say everyone is going to have a certain body fat floor. Below this floor, you are just going to feel like shit, right? And for most women, this will be higher than men. The levels of essential body fat you'll need for things like being in an optimal place hormonally to maintain a healthy menstrual cycle, for your sex hormones to be in a good place, for thyroid to be in a good place, for your energy levels, your hunger levels, all those things to be in a good place, libido, there's a certain amount of body fat that we need. And if we dip below that, we're just going to feel terrible. And maintaining below that just isn't going to be realistic. Now, if you are someone who is in this place where it's like, hey, I want to be able to maintain a leaner physique than I have currently. But again, let's say like, I use the example there. Let's say it's like you're a 150 pound woman. And let's say it is, you need 25 pounds of body fat on your frame. When you dip below 25 pounds of body fat, that's the point where we just start to feel crappy. And this is below the point that's sustainable. So rather than just continue to try to diet and get leaner and leaner and just feeling like shit, if rather, let's say you just maintain at that amount of body fat. And instead we focused on, hey, we're eating more food, we're fueling you well, you're building muscle. And let's say you gained 5 pounds of muscle. So now you're 155 pounds, still with that 25 pounds of body fat in your frame, your body fat percentage and how lean you appear is just basically comes down to the ratio of fat mass to lean body mass on your frame. So we maintain that 25 pounds of fat mass, but we gained 5 pounds of lean mass. Your body fat percentage will have actually decreased, even though you didn't lose like a single ounce of fat, and you will look leaner. You will have more shape, right? So, but also like you'll feel so much better in that process rather than doing it by restricting calories and like trying to eat as little as possible and all these things. Probably we're eating a good amount of food. We're very well fueled and things of that nature. So it really can in that regard as well make a big difference. I know I've shared so many examples recently of clients where it's like, hey, this person's the same weight. They built a lot of muscle or even heavier than they were previously, but they made great gains. They appear leaner.
Another thing with that is if you've added 5 pounds of lean body mass, now your basal metabolic rate is going to be higher. So you're maintaining that 25 pounds of body fat on a higher calorie intake, which in our world where like you want to go out to eat and have some flexibility, that makes that so much easier to stay at that leanness.
Yeah, absolutely. And then with the like, and I mean, I think that when it comes to metabolic rate, it's not a crazy difference. Like adding 1 pound of muscle doesn't increase your metabolic rate a crazy amount, but the like moving a heavier body constantly, moving a more dense body constantly. And yes, we have to maintain that at rest. Moving a more dense body constantly. The fact that
yeah, we should have said TDE.
Yeah, there we go. That's very much splitting hairs, but yes, it will definitely make a difference in that regard too. Building muscle is also going to be key to changing the shape of your physique, right? Which is really what most of the women we coach want. I've used the example many times of, hey, just focusing on fat loss. Basically, especially if you're already relatively lean, you're basically going to just get a smaller version of the physique you already have. Whereas if we build muscle, we can completely change the shape of our physique. Now, when we are in a deficit, so when we're dieting, the rate of muscle protein synthesis decreases, muscle protein breakdown increases. We talked a lot of, again, about kind of think of when it comes to building muscle, imagine you have a brick wall. On one side of this wall, we have muscle protein synthesis, adding bricks to the wall. On the other side of the wall, we have muscle protein breakdown, pulling bricks away from the wall. Now, at the end of the day, and then things like eating protein, eating plenty of plenty of leucine and things of that nature, that will increase the rate of muscle protein synthesis versus the rate of muscle protein breakdown. Both of these things are always happening. Well, we can increase or decrease the rates of one or the other. Resistance training will again stimulate muscle protein synthesis. But when we're looking at those again, muscle protein synthesis will, the rate of that will decrease when we're in a deficit. So when we're eating below maintenance, and muscle protein breakdown will typically increase. So it's going to be a little bit less ideal position to build muscle in, plus versus in a building phase where again, we're typically going to be at maintenance or in a surplus, where we are going to have those things in a better place. Plus, we're going to have more fuel, aka food. So you will have better training and recovery, and that'll make it easier to build muscle. It's also really cool from a psychological perspective. This can be a good time frame to just show clients how good they can feel when they are well fueled. So many people, again, coming from this background of always trying to get leaner, always trying to diet. It's incredible to see. First, like from oftentimes we can get your body into a much healthier and more responsive place, getting all the micronutrients we need, all the carbs you need and things of that nature to where your body does respond better. It's easier to build muscle. It's easier to stay leaner, but also seeing like what a great physique you can maintain while eating more food and actually enjoying your life more. That's just such a cool thing. Similarly, we can often have more lifestyle flexibility. So again, more food, things like free meals, for example, untracked meals or sometimes untracked days. And again, I know in building phases, I typically give clients a lot more flexibility as well. Like there's so much more room for those things in the building phases versus in like a fat loss phase. Cause really like dieting should be a phase, not a lifestyle. When we're doing things well, we probably should spend a lot more time in these phases than like in a fat loss phase. Anything else to add there as far as why building phases are going to be important for women?
Just feeling more well-fueled, I think, is the thing I get the most feedback on. Like, oh my gosh, I feel so good in my training now, mm-hmm. with both increasing the carbs around training and just going into your training session, not fasted and things like that. But then also like coming from a fat loss phase into a maintenance or build phase, that's always consistently the thing that people have the most feedback, like positive feedback on, is I feel amazing in my training. I thought I felt okay before, and now I feel like so much better and stronger.
Absolutely. It's almost always, and similarly, even outside of that, like, oh shit, I didn't realize like how low my energy was until now, or mm-hmm. like how much better my sleep could be, or just as a whole, like how much better I could feel. People typically don't realize like how much better they could feel until they experience something like this. And that's so cool to see. But again, the biggest, not necessarily the biggest thing, but a lot of our clients are very much focused on aesthetics. Really, to change your body, building muscle is so important, especially if you've only been pursuing fat loss for like as long as you can remember and you haven't been able to achieve the physique you want. Probably what you're missing is we need to add more muscle to your frame. And this, the building phases are going to be the most efficient way to do so. So to get into some of the most common building phase mistakes, and feel free to jump in here whenever, a couple that we will commonly see, because again, like a lot of people will start coaching and it's, hey, I tried a building phase in the past and it just didn't go well. I just gained a ton of body fat. I feel like I didn't make very much progress. One of the most common mistakes I see is people thinking that it is the food that drives the muscle growth, right? So typically it will be, I ramped my food way up and I just gained body fat super quickly. Now, typically the real issue here is we are missing the right stimulus for muscle growth, right? Where it's important to understand when it comes to building muscle, the actual stimulus for muscle growth is our training. And we'll talk a little bit more about like what that actually needs to look like in a moment when we talk about the keys to building phase success. But we have to have good training in place to stimulate muscle growth. The food is just supportive of that, right? So I kind of use the analogy of kind of think of training as the gas pedal, food as your nutrition is kind of the fuel in the tank. A lot of people, when they go into building phase, it's like, we're like, okay, we're doing Orange Theory. Okay, we're just like not really touching that pedal at all. Maybe we're like tapping it occasionally, but we're not really touching that gas pedal at all. But if we're in a building phase and we are in this place where, okay, I just need to eat a ton of calories, your gas tank's overflowing, but we're not touching the pedal at all, right? So it's a balance between the two that we need to focus on. Most people are missing that training side of things. Almost always, that's the biggest reason why, one of the biggest reasons why people aren't getting the results they want in the building phase.
This is why I won't have somebody do a true build phase if I'm not doing their training.
100%.
Like 99.9% of the time, I need to be doing their training if we're going to do a build phase, because I want to be seeing their training intensity. A lot of people will feel like they're training hard, but then we'll get started and it's like, oh my gosh, I thought I was pushing it, but I wasn't really actually even close. And that's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference there. Like you said, if you've got the food coming in, you've got to give it a job to do. And if you're not training hard enough, then you're just going to end up way softer at the end of it.
Absolutely. That's a great point too. That's why like it's incredibly rare that we take on just nutrition clients anymore. And again, if you want like the best results out of the build phase, I would highly encourage you not to hire a coach for just the nutrition side of things, because really, if you've been struggling to build muscle so far, you're probably missing a big component of, like, you're probably missing a big piece with the training as well. Another common mistake I see is just, or I hear, again, all this I kind of base off of typically with like the initial calls with new clients, working through their history and like what they've struggled with in the past. Another common thing I'll see is people just don't track their food at all in this phase. Now, again, there is a lot more flexibility in this phase. We will typically add in things like I will consistently use a free meal, an untracked meal, or a couple untracked meals per week. Sometimes I'll have clients take an entire untracked day. I've had clients take multiple untracked days every week. Or, hey, maybe we're doing like a couple untracked meals and again, once or twice per week, I'm okay if we just focus on hitting our calories and protein, kind of let carbs and fats fall where they may and have a little bit more flexibility. Or even like something I do in my building phases is, like Brandon knows, like my like dates with Katie are super important, and she loves to go like check out new like bars and restaurants in the area. So once a week I have a day where I basically have like an extra 750 calories, which when I'm already eating like 4,100 calories a day, there's a lot to work with. And he's like, just like kind of play macro Tetris this day and just make it fit in. But that's, I have like 5,000 calories, right? That's plenty of flexibility. So a lot of similar things we can do there. But when it's just like, it feels like I'm eating a lot of food, but I'm not actually tracking the amount of this that's come in. Now, over time, if you've gone through like a couple building phases and done them well, you could probably get away with it without tracking your food too closely, right? But if you've never been able to do this well, we need to make sure that you're consistently getting in adequate protein, adequate carbs, but also more so, I think that it's, again, like it's typically not an issue to like get in adequate carbs in a situation like that. Adequate protein is more often an issue. And then also, people typically end up just overdoing it when they're not tracking their intake. And that can all again lead to, hey, I just gained body fat too quickly. Go ahead.
I would say this is so heavily dependent on somebody's natural hunger too. So
that's
like
a good point, actually.
You would probably way underdo your calories, right? Mm-hmm. I think that I would probably, I don't know. I think a lot of people would probably overeat fats and undereat protein. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I have so many people that have such low hunger, even in a deficit phase where we're having to track just to make sure that we get the right amount of food in. And then there's other people who, like me, like I have a high appetite, I would probably overdo it. But then there are some of my days, like my 380 carb day, where I would not eat enough. So yeah, it just is so dependent on the person. And if you're not getting if you're not gaining any weight through a build phase, but you know that your training is on point, then you might be somebody that just naturally tends to undereat, where if you're gaining too much fat, then you're probably somebody that naturally tends to overeat. So tracking is just so important for all of those variables, because we need to make sure that we're hitting your calories and your protein pretty consistently, and just all of those things need to be dialed in.
That's a great point, actually, because it can definitely isn't just people tend to overeat, but undereat as well. Like my client Phil, I think I mentioned him quite a few times on the podcast recently, but he is someone where he's a lot more advanced. I give him quite a bit of flexibility with his food. He also travels quite a bit, and he typically manages these things well with his trips. But a lot of times on his trips, it'll be like, I'm going to be gone for 4 or 5 days. I don't necessarily want to track during this time. And like if we're in a fatless phase, he will. But a lot of times, like if we're in a maintenance phase, because he typically has like a month where he just has crazy travel, and hey, our primary goal here is to just maintain. A lot of times when he comes back from those trips, he'll have lost weight. He's someone where, again, we have to be very intentional about pushing food. And like a lot of times we have to pull his food back with like mini cuts or maintenance phases, just because he's like, just gets tired of eating so much food. Mm-hmm. So, or relative to like him and his hunger cues. So that's a great point as well. It also helps us ensure we're eating enough and fueling well enough. Similarly, getting too loose with food quality. I know this is something that I've made a huge mistake of in the past, where again, it's not like it has to be 100% quote unquote clean foods, right? It doesn't have to just be like purely foods like homemade meals, and we're only eating like fruits and veggies and things of that nature. But it is easy to get too loose with food quality, to where I know I've talked about this a lot with like, I'm just going to like throw some cheese on a tortilla and like get a ton of calories there, like eat like 4 or 5 tortillas and like drink a protein shake, and I hit my protein, I hit my carbs, et cetera. Like that's not that there's any, I love a quesadilla, right? But we also need to remember that, again, a healthy body is going to be a responsive body. We need to make sure that we are still hitting our micronutrient needs, still getting in an adequate amount of fruits, vegetables, et cetera. Now, we might actually, for someone whose hunger is lower, we might actually scale back the amount of like, again, like vegetables and things of that nature that we're eating to reduce volume a little bit, depending on where the person is. But we do need to make sure adequate food quality is still in place. Neglecting sleep is another very common one, where again, we can only grow from what we can recover from. The goal here is to build muscle. Again, we need to actually be able to recover before we can grow. Sleep is a huge part of recovery. I've had a lot of conversations in the past with clients where it's like, oh man, I'm just like frustrated because I feel like I'm not getting much stronger in the gym, or man, I've just felt like crap in the gym this weekend. I don't know why. Is it like my nutrient timing? And I'll be like, hey, actually, remember how you said you've like, when we looked at your like weekly average hours of sleep, it was below 6 for the entire week. That's why we feel this way. Such an important part of this that I think is often overlooked. Missing the right stimulus for hypertrophy, we already kind of touched on. But similarly, doing lots of junk volume. So basically junk volume can be defined as, so volume is the number of hard sets we're going to be doing per body part in the gym per week, right? So junk volume, we could further define as volume that isn't productive or stimulative for muscle growth. So basically when we're looking at junk volume, it is, hey, so basically with every set that we do in the gym, we incur a certain amount of stimulus and we incur a certain amount of fatigue. So the stimulus basically dictates like how strong is that muscle growth signal that we're sending to our body. But we have to be able to recover from all the fatigue we incurred as well before we can grow. I've talked about this quite a bit with like the SRA curve, where the more fatigue we, not that fatigue is a bad thing by any means, but basically imagine your body kind of at a baseline, fatigue pushes it below the specific baseline. And then we have to use our recovery resources like our calories, our sleep, things of that nature to come back up to the previous baseline. And then if we have recovery resources left, we can actually exceed that. And that's where we grow. But when it comes to junk volume, when we're doing things like, okay, so we know that we need to train very close to failure for a set to be stimulative. If we are stopping our sets well short of failure, that's going to be junk volume. If we are like doing extremely high rep sets, so like 30, 40 rep sets, really it's, again, it's not going to be until those last few reps where the set is all that stimulative. So within that, that is still a lot of like extra fatigue that we're adding. Anything else you can think of there as far as examples of junk volume?
I think you covered that pretty well.
Okay.
So finally we have, that's okay. I feel like there's one more example that I normally use, but it's escaping me currently. Finally, we have calorie hoarding, which is something I talked about quite a bit recently as well. But basically think like the typically how I see this play out is we'll have a client. A lot of our clients train very early, like 5, 6 a.m. or earlier still. And they will typically go like, this will typically be the routine before they start with us. It'll be like, I train super early, fasted at like 5 a.m. Maybe I just drink a coffee. And then I don't eat until noon. And basically through the entire day, I try to keep my calories as low as I possibly can. So I can save up plenty of calories for the evening because I'm always hungry in the evening. So typically first and foremost, like the reason people in that situation are always hungry in the evening is because we underate all day, right? So then as a result, there's typically almost like such a rebound in the hunger response that people typically end up overdoing it in the evening. But also in that situation, we're going to be in much, again, like whereas a calorie deficit, the only goal was fat loss, it wouldn't be that big of a deal to be doing like this calorie hoarding approach. I still wouldn't recommend it, but it wouldn't be as big of a deal if the only goal was fat loss, because again, at the end of the day, like our net deficit throughout the day and week is going to be what determines our progress. Whereas here, your building phases are going to be much more about the micro, right? Where, okay, it's almost think like everything here is going to ding us a point. So we're not well fueled going into that training session. We have an elevated muscle protein synthesis. Okay. Within that, that like dinged us a point for like what we could get as far as muscle growth. Or not that we have to like have a meal immediately post-workout, but didn't eat anything within a couple hours of training. That again, dinged us a point as far as how much progress we could make as far as muscle growth goes. Then we're basically in a catabolic state. We're in a deficit through the entire day because we're eating so little. Again, not going to make sense for your body to want to add as much muscle if we're sending it the signal that, hey, we don't have very many calories coming in, because muscle is a very calorically expensive tissue. So again, that kind of dinged us another point, even if it is like the end of the day. And then I'm eating, let's say I'm eating 3000 calories a day and I'm eating like 2200 of them in the last like couple hours before bed. Even if your net calories, your macros are the same as what they were supposed to be throughout the day, still we won't build as much muscle in that day. Anything else to add there as far as most common building phase mistakes?
With calorie hoarding, there that does have a negative impact, especially for women with just being in a deficit for part of the day. Hormonally, oh, yeah. You're not going to respond as well. And then I also think that a lot of that comes down to just fear of being hungry and like wanting to have those treats and things after dinner. I get so many people that are like, well, I always have this thing after dinner, and so now I'm not going to have room for that. But one more thing that I thought of here is just and you kind of touched on it with a healthy body is a responsive body, but making sure that your internal health is in a good place is really important before you go into a building phase as well, just so that you're assimilating your food really well. Your insulin sensitivity should be in a pretty good place. Your hormones should be in a pretty good place. Like if you are extremely low testosterone, which I see with a ton of women, that is not going to have you in an optimal place for building muscle. So spending some time at maintenance and really getting your micros in, maybe some specific supplements to cover bases there, that's going to be really helpful and go a long way to make sure that then in the building phase, you're gaining mostly muscle and not mostly fat.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about who should take on a building phase and who wouldn't be a good fit for it yet. So to get into kind of the biggest keys to building phase success, and there's going to be a lot more here that we could touch on, but from a high level, a few of the most important things are again going to be, we want a proper hypertrophy stimulus. So basically we need the signal for muscle growth coming from our training. So training is a stimulus. We need to actually stimulate muscle growth. Again, it's the actual signal. Food just aids it. So within this, we need consistent effort. Basically, we need to be consistently training very close to failure. We need good execution within our movements, right? So again, the way we execute a movement dictates where tension goes, right? Muscles grow as a result of significant tension. Again, basically everything that causes us to be very close to failure. If it's again, like I am executing my Romanian deadlift very poorly, I'm lifting heavy weight, but it's all of the tension is in my back rather than my hamstrings and my glutes, tension isn't in the right place, right? Then we need proper exercise selection as well. This is another kind of underappreciated aspect of building muscle that we do help a lot of clients with in coaching. Basically, we want to make sure that the target muscle group is the limiting factor that causes us to stop the set, the thing that fails or would fail, right? So we don't want it to be like, again, if I'm doing a squat pattern, we want it to be, okay, is this more glute bias or quad bias? Okay, I want that to be the thing that, like, the tension and the fatigue, and that is what causes me to stop the set, right? It's like, oh my gosh, my quads are so fatigued and so tired that I can't keep going. Not, I feel like my hips are shooting up and now I have a lot of pain in my back. I need to stop the set, or my hips are shifting or whatever it may be, or like my grip is giving out, my core strength is giving out. It's cardiovascular fatigue. We need it to be the specific muscle group to be the limiting factor. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about the training program side of things further down in the series. And then we need adequate volume. Again, think number of hard sets per muscle group. This is basically, we have kind of the stimulus, and then the volume is the total dosage of that stimulus. And we need both of those to be appropriate, not too much or too little, in order to grow. Anything else to add there?
I think that covers it.
Okay, cool.
And I would say also, just like us watching movement videos is such a huge part of that. We're making sure that all of these things are in the right place. And there can be a movement that looks like an RDL is such a good example, movement that looks and feels pretty good, but like we need to be pushing hips back further into the movement to really keep the tension in the right place. To be able to even push it to failure with those target muscles. So, I mean, I guess all of that is already encompassed in what you said, but just reiterating there.
Okay. I love it. Proper fueling and recovery. This is very important as well. Again, it's not just about training hard or creating the stimulus. We also need to be able to actually to recover from that in order to grow. So, to optimally recover, we're going to need adequate calories. We talked about already muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein breakdown. Those are going to be in a better place at maintenance, a better place still when we're in a slight calorie surplus, the most detrimental place in a deficit. We also need adequate protein. Protein going to be the building block of muscle tissue. Adequate protein is going to be the most important part nutritionally of building muscle. Carbs are really going to help our ability to push hard in our training, especially when we're talking about hypertrophy. That anaerobic lactic system, which is again going to be the energy system we're primarily using when we are training to build muscle, really what provides the majority of your fuel for up from like 15 to like 40 to 60 seconds of intense activity. That's going to be fueled by carbs. So if we're low on carbs, we are essentially going to be short on fuel. We're not going to be able to train as well. Fats are also going to be important though. From a hormonal perspective, supporting hormonal health, controlling inflammation and things of that nature. And then within that, I mean, we'll talk through all these things a little bit more in depth, but proper peri-workout nutrition, pre, post-workout, potentially even intra-workout. That's going to be very helpful. Sleep and managing stress, not doing too much as far as cardio or steps, the appropriate amount of volume and avoiding junk volume. And then lots of time and consistency with all of the above. I think this is, again, one of the factors people want to avoid. Similarly, it's important to understand, like, building muscle is just slow, right? It's a lot slower than fat loss is. We can lose 1 to 2 pounds of fat in a week. You would be making absurd progress if you were gaining like 1 to 2 pounds of muscle a week. Really, like, if we're gaining a pound of muscle a month, we're making incredible progress. So it's important to, now again, that'll depend on where you're at. Like, a pound of muscle a month for most people who haven't like experienced like being well fueled, proper training, etc., that's very, very realistic progress. But as we get more advanced, especially, like, gaining a pound of muscle a month is great progress, right? So it's important to understand loss of time and consistency with these factors is going to be one of the biggest keys here. Really, most of the physique transformations, like, we post where it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's what I want, the people kind of go crazy over, those almost always entail like, hey, this person spent, it might have not all been at the same time, but cumulatively, they spent over a year with us focused on building. Anything else to add there before we get into who could be a good fit for a building phase?
Just with the amount of time, a lot of times whenever we're getting into a building phase, somebody will ask, like, how long do I need to do this? Or how long do I have to stay in this phase? When can we go back to dieting afterwards? So really, like, at least 6 months is usually my minimum amount of time, which I know we'll touch on all this later. But it's definitely not one of those things where you just want to dip in for like a month and get back out. You're just going to end up spinning your wheels and not seeing much change at all.
Absolutely. I think one of the most important things to let go of is, I mean, as a whole, for many people, like, it's okay if like the physique you want is leaner than the physique you have, definitely, right? But it's also important to understand that this will help you get there just as much as fat loss will. It's so important to let go of like fat loss is the only thing that'll get there, because I think a lot of times people kind of even like think of this as the building phase is kind of like a like a detour from actually getting to the physique I want.
Yeah.
And like, once I get back to fat loss, okay, now we're back on track to getting the physique I want. Where really, like I mentioned, this is probably the most important part of getting the physique you want, is building that muscle, because this will also actually make you appear leaner. This will raise that floor of how lean you have to be to get the physique you want. It'll make it more sustainable. So the less you can view it as a detour from your goals, and the more you can understand, hey, this is like the most important part of getting my goals, it just makes things so much easier. Again, approaching a building phase with the like, I want to get this done with as quickly as possible, it just doesn't go well, because again, it's not something we can kind of like cram for. It just takes months and months of doing things extremely well to get there. So to dig into who could be a good fit for a building phase, first, again, there's going to be several different types of building phases. We'll discuss this a lot in the next episode, and also like the details of each and how to decide which is the best fit for you. But we have building at maintenance, and then we have a true building phase. But so again, keep that in mind when we're talking through this. Doesn't necessarily mean like we actually need to be in a surplus. Again, we'll talk through how to decide which is the best fit for you in the next episode. But first, could be a good fit for a building phase if you don't have much body fat on your frame, but still don't have the body shape you want. Again, adding more muscle really changes the shape of your physique. This is probably what you need if you are in that position. Maybe you've been dieting and want more food flexibility while still continuing to improve your physique, right? For a lot of people, even clients we've worked with where it's like, I think of some clients where it's like, hey, we spent a good like 6 months in fat loss. Maybe you had a larger amount to lose. And typically, like when a client first starts with us, that first fat loss phase, if this is the first time you've like successfully lost fat, typically does take a little bit longer, as we also learn those skills of dieting. But within this, then even if it is like, hey, maybe ultimately I want to lose like another 10 to 15 pounds, but man, we've been dieting for like 6 months, just mentally it gets to be pretty taxing. Oftentimes like taking some time to focus on, okay, let's make some lean gains, then we can get back to this. And again, in like another 6 to 12 months, that's very productive. You continue to improve your physique, but we also reduce a lot of that diet fatigue and make it easier, like when we do eventually get back to the diet, to kind of follow that through. But again, this is really a good way to like continue to improve your physique, eat more food, have more food flexibility, offset the negative adaptations of dieting and things of that nature. As I mentioned before, if you're someone who kind of wants to lower your body fat floor without having to lose more body fat, building more muscle will aid that. And then generally, when we're talking about body fat percentages specifically, again, I don't want anyone to be too attached to these, but speaking in generalities, there probably is going to be a more ideal range for you to be in from a body fat percentage perspective. So for metabolic health, managing inflammation, preserving insulin sensitivity, staying in the about 16 to 30% range of body fat for women, about 10 to 20% range for men is typically going to be ideal. So when we're looking at like, hey, when am I in a good place to start in building phase? Again, speaking very much in generalities here, most women, I would say between approximately 16 and 25% body fat. Most men between about 10 to 16% body fat are probably going to be in a pretty good place to take on a building phase. Now, if you are above this, we may want to get a bit leaner first before actually entering a building phase. Because again, body fat creeping too high can deteriorate psychological health a bit, or physiological health a bit, can also have an impact on the psychological side of things. But again, we can see things like, hey, maybe your insulin sensitivity isn't as good of a place. And this means nutrient partitioning is going to be a little bit worse, right? So basically, for the calories we consume, the ratio of those that are shuttled to muscle gain versus fat gain won't be as ideal. And then on the flip side, if you're below those ranges, it's definitely okay to like take on a building phase. Like if you're a woman below 16% or a man below 10%. And again, like these are just ranges, like what everyone's like kind of floor and ceiling here will be different. But if you are below that floor for you, it's also just important to understand that at the start of that, you probably will gain body fat back a little bit quicker. Because again, when we're too lean, our body senses, hey, we need more body fat just to be healthy. So your body fat will prioritize gaining back fat mass over muscle mass at the start of that. And honestly, in a situation like that, I think like a recovery diet is going to be more beneficial, because if we are just trying to get back to this place where we're healthy, biofeedback is in a good place. I still, I wouldn't be too attached to just the numbers, but also your biofeedback. But if we are like in a point where it's like, man, we just feel shitty, if we're like pushing our training extremely hard, as we're also in this place where our body's prioritizing gaining back body fat, that additional stress from the training is just going to make it harder to recover and get back to a productive place to build quickly. So that's probably where I would actually do a health phase rather than us hopping right into a building phase. Anything else to add there as far as who could be a good fit for a building phase?
I don't think so.
Okay. So then when we're digging into who probably shouldn't take on a building phase, again, we mentioned before, if you are someone where, hey, we're a decent bit above those body fat ranges that I mentioned, there's not necessarily anything wrong, especially in a situation like that, I would probably, hey, if it's like building for whatever reason, because there's definitely clients who've been above those ranges where it's like, hey, fat loss doesn't make sense for us right now. Maybe we do just want to focus on building and maintenance, or we do need a health phase. I definitely like wouldn't take on a true building phase if you are quite a bit above those range where it's, hey, I need to lose a decent amount of body fat to get to a healthy place. If you're someone who can't train consistently currently, again, like there's nothing wrong with, again, between the two different types of building phases. It's also okay to like, hey, I'm going to eat at maintenance and see what I can do. But the training is going to be important. If you're not willing to train consistently, probably not going to make much progress in a building phase. If you're in a place where sleep is very poor, and again, like take this with a grain of salt. For some people, it's going to be like, hey, this just is what it is. Maybe it's just the nature of your job. You're making the best of it you can. Cool. It's like, again, it's where does optimal be practical? But if you have terrible sleep and it's like, hey, there's a lot we can do to improve this, let's focus on fixing that and we'll be in a much better place to build. Not willing to focus on it for at least 6 months. Again, it just takes time. And if we're only willing to like do this for a couple months, we're just not going to make much progress. The building phase does take some momentum to really kind of get rolling and progressing. So that time is such an important aspect. And then similarly, to what you mentioned before, if you're in a poor place hormonally, and really I would look at this not necessarily hormonally, but your biofeedback as a whole, I'll let you touch on like other digestion. Biofeedback. Yeah. I'll let you touch on what other metrics we look at after this. But like I just posted about, for example, my client Lexi, who when she started, her initial goal was, I want to build a lot of muscle and then get leaner. But basically she also, when she started, she had just transitioned off of hormonal birth control. She didn't have a cycle. Her sex hormones were all in a terrible place. Like her progesterone, her estrogen, and her testosterone were all basically non-existent, to where it was like, hey, those are going to be so important for our ability to build muscle. Now, if we push you right away into like extremely hard training, It's actually going to, the stress from that could potentially delay our recovery of these hormones. So like for her, we spent 6 months focusing on restoring a consistent cycle, focusing on, and there were so many things. Like in her case, she was doing so much cardio. She was training like 6 days a week, like pulling all that back, reducing her steps to a much more reasonable amount, ramping up her food. She also wasn't eating very much food at all, ramping her food way up. But basically we got her to a place where all of her biofeedback was excellent. She feels so much better. Her sex hormones are in a great place. And now like her body is responding like crazy because she spent so much time like in the health phase being willing to optimize that first. Again, not that this is very much a case by case basis. There are going to be some instances where, hey, there's a lot we can improve here. And it's completely okay for us to push training hard and focus on improving that. Now, in her case, it was like a, and we're pulling training. We have ended up pulling training back to like 3 days a week. Volume was very low and most of her sets were at like 3 to 4 reps in the tank, right? That's just what it took for us to mitigate that stress for a while to get there. But long-term, it paid off. And she's now like, we built a ton of muscle and she's in a place where in her fat loss phase now, she's eating so much more food than she reported previously and losing on it. So that's very cool to see, but again, kind of a long game there. What other biofeedback would you really be looking at? So like, hey, we might want to address this before we enter a building phase.
The main one I would say is digestion. Because if you are really gassy or bloated all the time or have constipation or diarrhea consistently, that's just a signal to you that you're not assimilating your food well. And there's probably some other stuff going on, even if for whatever reason, if it was just digestion and nothing else, like everything else looked perfect, even just the digestion being off, you're not going to be utilizing that food to the best of your ability. So I would focus on getting that into a good place first. But with that said, unless it is just because of an abundance of stress, you can go ahead and push your training. And I would say just stay at maintenance while you dial in your food selection and like get to the root issue of what's going on with digestion. And then you can start pushing food up.
Yeah. I talked about Lexi's scenario, but there aren't very many instances where I would actually recommend, hey, yeah, we actually don't want to train hard. I'm going to pull you back. That is very, very rare. That's very much the exception to the rule. You can for sure still like make progress in that point. But as you mentioned, we're probably going to want to optimize digestion before we're especially like pushing food up past maintenance, because that's going to really impact. It's not just like, hey, did you eat the food? It's also, can your body actually absorb and use the food? And if everything's just running straight through you, it's not going to be able to. Anything else as far as clients who or people who probably shouldn't take on a building phase?
You mentioned can't train consistently, but I would also add there aren't able to push themselves hard enough. We would want to keep food at maintenance while we're improving that. And then once we get that into a place where their intensity is in a good place, then that's when you're going to start picking up momentum with building muscle. And then you can also add a little bit of food there.
Yeah. And again, that kind of goes into the two different types where you probably could, you would still, if you like, it made sense for us to build, probably would just focus on that, like building at maintenance, which again, we'll dig into those pretty in depth in this next episode. So to kind of finally wrap things up, we asked for some listener questions, and really a large part of this is going to be addressing like what we're working through here. Will really address a lot of these questions, but I want to make sure like each of these was relevant to each episode we answered. So a couple of listener questions we got, to kind of go along with this episode specifically. And again, if you ask questions, we don't answer them here. Don't worry. We're going to get to them in the future episodes. I'm a 5'2" woman. What is the normal weight range we should start building? I really there personally wouldn't worry about a specific weight range. It's going to vary so much. I would have much more based it on these other factors as far as who should or shouldn't take on a building phase. Do you have anything to add to that one?
Yeah, everybody's composition is just going to be so different, how you're holding it, your particular insulin sensitivity. So yeah, for sure. Just pay attention to those other things that we mentioned, and also just how you feel in your body. Like if you're beyond a body fat level that you feel comfortable not getting any leaner for several months, then I would start with a fat loss phase first, which we covered.
Or if you're someone like who's already very lean, but it's like, I still don't feel like I'm lean enough. Again, we might do like, hey, maybe we do want to build that maintenance, but I definitely wouldn't be too attached to like a specific weight range because it's going to vary so much. I'm going to defer this one to you just like I would defer a client who was in the situation to you. Can I start a building phase a few weeks after giving birth?
I probably wouldn't. So a few weeks after is really not very specific. So it would also depend on how far after. And it would also depend on if you are nursing, just because that changes things so much. But you would want to have your pelvic floor and your core really strong before you go into a phase where you're really pushing your training really hard. So if your pelvic floor isn't healed up and you go and max out on a leg press, you're going to make things so much worse for yourself. And that can last for as long as you, you know, years if you don't address it specifically. So you want to make sure that you're completely healed up. You also want your period to be back. So if your period's not back, that's a sign that your hormones aren't back to normal. So a few weeks sounds like a short amount of time, and I would give it enough time that your biofeedback is normal. Also, like with a newborn, you're not sleeping. So yeah. We talked about how important sleep is. And so if you push your food up, you might just start to gain more fat than what you're wanting because your sleep isn't in a good place, and that throws everything else off. So probably not. If you're a unicorn who's, you know, your period is back, your core and pelvic floor are very strong, and you're feeling really good and your baby sleeps pretty well, then you might be able to consider it. But all those things have to be in place first.
Yeah. Very similar to like what we talked about with the health phase. And again, I am of course not nearly as experienced. I of course have not had any children, but also like working with others in this situation, I'm not really as experienced with this as you, but similarly, like after that, like, yes, like you mentioned, your pelvic floor, sleep probably isn't in a good place. Hormonally, we're probably not in like the LDVO place yet. And again, like there's lots of instances. It varies a lot from person to person, right? But especially if we're like truly only a couple weeks out and we're just applying, like I'm going to push as hard as I can in my training. That's a lot of stress, additional stress that our body is going to have to recover from. It might be more productive to like, hey, again, maybe we're going to hang on maintenance, fuel you well, do what we can in our training. And a lot of women can see a great recomp. Again, like not necessarily starting like 2 weeks out, but hey, maybe a couple of months out. Again, we're kind of getting back into things and we're ramping it up over time. You can definitely see a great recomp, but typically I think from like what I have seen you do with clients, it seems like it's typically the best approach to give that a little bit more time.
Yeah.
All right. Do I really need to have a lower body fat percentage to start building? Again, like I mentioned, not necessarily. We're probably going to have the most optimal, and we don't have to be shredded here, right? If we're shredded, we're actually probably going to have to like regain a little bit of body fat for it to be extremely productive, as I mentioned. But if we are like, hey, I have a decent ways to go before I'm getting back to the point where I'm healthy. Typically in that situation, if it's like, for whatever reason, maybe you're just not mentally in fat loss right now, maybe it's not the right time, that's okay. But in that situation, I would probably take on the building at maintenance approach, which for most people, we'll talk about this more, but it's generally going to be like a more common approach anyways, versus like we're going into a surplus. I'm going to defer the last one to you as well. I'm always scared it won't help push the weights to eat more.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate. You don't know until you try it. So, you know, it's not just eating more. You also have to put in more effort into pushing it. Like you're not just going to accidentally lift more than you did last week. You have to really be pushing it to add weight or reps week to week. But if you're pushing it to failure, for example, that really clarifies that line because it's not ambiguous how many reps in reserve you have. Like you pushed it to failure, you didn't complete your last rep. If you're doing that and you are adding food, it becomes really clear how much extra food helps. Even for me being in a surplus already, adding my extra high day, I was able just from that to really see a lot of improvement in the number of reps I was able to get. And it feels, you'll go into a set and it feels just as hard as it did last week, but all of a sudden you get three more reps. And so it really truly does make a huge difference. Now, the things that we talked about earlier have to be in place. Like you have to have your peri-workout nutrition dialed in. You can't just eat more treats at the end of the night and think that that's going to make a massive difference for you. But if you have your peri-workout nutrition set up, you're drinking your water, like all of those things are in place, you're sleeping, then all of those things being equal, eating more food, you just have to try it and experience it for yourself. Like it gives you a lot more push and oomph at the end of your set to be able to finish it out.
Yeah. I would kind of say it's almost similar to, like, at least for a lot of people, like I love caffeine. So like for me, if I have like a little bit of caffeine before I train, I typically find like it's a little bit easier for me to kind of tap into that and push harder. Yes. It doesn't necessarily make it easy to push hard still, right? There still definitely is a mental component to that. But also, like, that's on one end, but a lot of times as well, what you'll find is it doesn't necessarily like make it like, oh wow, now it's easy for me to push hard. But as you said, rather it's more like, oh shit, that felt just as hard as it did last week, but I'm making a lot more progress.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That is all we have for this episode. Again, next episode, we'll be digging into building phases at maintenance versus a surplus and how to decide which is the best fit for you. Andrea, before we wrap it up, anything else that you want to add?
I don't think so. If you have specific questions on next week's topic, I guess send them to us, right?
Yeah,
we can add some more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't have anything else to add.
Perfect. All right. Well, again, we've guided a lot of individuals through building phases. This is something we do very well. So if you do want just more one-on-one coaching and guidance through a building phase of your own, click the link in the show notes to apply to work with us. I'm going to put up a story box today. So by the time y'all listen to this, it'll probably be down. Sorry. But if there are other questions that you want to get answered in the upcoming series, please feel free to DM either of us and we'll take care of you. But that's what we have for you guys for this time. As always, thank you all for tuning in.